Blog Talk Radio.
Jim Bird here from Killer Bees Barbecue out of Evans, Georgia. Hope everybody had a really good weekend last weekend. We're going to do some recaps on a couple of the contests around here. The number one thing I want, we've got a guest, Gary Blevins from Munchy Smokehouse, going to be calling in. He just took a grand championship down in Florida. I think in his home state of Florida, down in Lake City, if I'm not mistaken. Congratulations to him. Big tough crowd down there, Rub, and Woolly Bully Barbecue Mafia and all them were down there. So, you know, he had some stiff competition. A big congrats to Gary for pulling it out. We also had Atlanta Barbecue Festival up in Atlanta. I believe Jacksonville South took grand. A really good friend of mine, Randall Bowman, he got a top three call. He was third overall up there. So congratulations to him. He's cooking on his new chamber smokers. They seem to be producing quite well, if I must say so myself. We also had Sam's Club up in Chesapeake, Virginia. Several top teams from North Carolina up there and everything. Some more friends of mine, Two Old Men and Grill, Bob and Melinda Roberts, they made it through to the next round. They're going to be going to Bentonville, Arkansas. Fort Barrow Barbecue. They're going to be heading to Bentonville. They finished sixth overall. And Pickin' Porkers, Roger Marshall-Wise, I think he made up his mind today that he is going to go to Arkansas and compete in the National Sam's Club out there. So good luck to all them, and congratulations on making it through. Of course, they went and ate at Mark Breen's from Cyril Griller. He's got a restaurant up there in Chesapeake, which he'll be going for his regional here shortly. But it looked like, according to their Facebook pictures and talking to them, they had a really good time. They all went out to eat at Harpoon Larry's, which is what Mark Breen owns right there in Chesapeake, Virginia. If you ever get a chance, go by to eat out here. It's unbelievable seafood over there. It's a good oyster bar. Everybody talks about it that goes there. One day I'm going to make it up there and go visit him. But if you get a chance, you live nearby, from what I hear, it's worth the time and trouble to get over there to it and enjoy yourself. It's a really laid-back atmosphere. So we had an South Carolina barbecue event this weekend down near Sumter, South Carolina. I think it was also cut in Lake City. They did a whole hog contest, ribs and chicken wings, I believe. And I believe Brian Teague from Up and Smoke took grand over there, a good friend of mine, Waylon from Waylon's Wickedly Good Q, cooking a whole hog only. He was second in a whole hog by 1/100th of a point. So we're going to get his intake on some South Carolina barbecue events. Also, Jeff Smith from Smoking Stacks, who's right now, I think he's ranked second in South Carolina. He's going to be calling in a little bit later, and we'll be talking some South Carolina Q. We've got, like I said, we've got a pretty good lineup tonight. I went and did a little rib contest. We were doing a little home improvements, redoing the ceilings in the house, so I had to get the hell out of here. So didn't have any big events going on, so I went down to Waynesboro, Georgia. Jody put on a great event down there. It was small. It was about 15, 18 teams down there. A lot of good local competition down there, just cooking ribs. A lot of them vended and everything. So it ended up where Grilleteers won their first grand championship, another product of Rod Gray's cooking school. They took first in the ribs. The Tech Grills, they took second in ribs. And, of course, Killer Bees took third in ribs. So good to see Big J and the Butts down there and a few other teams. Glad y'all can make it down there. Support the local, you know, chapters of the Shriners, and also, you know, help the smaller towns out. They had a really good turnout for it. The community supported it, had water, and, you know, so it was a nice grassy field. So we were taken well care of. And so my hat's off to Jody from Big Dog Daddy Barbecue down in Waynesboro, Georgia, for putting that on and having a really good success. Really enjoyed it, and I will be back next year. So we're gearing up for our Sam's National Club, our regionals up in Nashville, Tennessee this week. We'll be heading up Thursday. Of course, there's not a whole lot of competition for Georgia, as y'all know. You know, we got Q's doing the brewing and Bubba Q and Curly Tails and, you know, a few of those teams going up there. You know, nothing big. So we'll be taking our trip up there. If we're very, very, very lucky, we'll make it in the top 10 to head to Arkansas. But you always have to have a fallback plan, so we've got one if we don't make it. But my plan is to make it to Arkansas. So we've got a couple other contests coming up that I want to put a bug in y'all's ear about. The one in Rome is going to be an awesome event. If Jim Stetson wants to call in tonight again and plug his event, it's going to be at an airstrip out there. They're going to have, you know, all sorts of an air show. It's skydiving and all sorts of stuff. They got ample power, ample places. Very cool. I think it's the first of its kind, but I think it's going to be very cool. Jim's helped put on quite a few events, and he really plugs in to what the cookers really like and need and would really like to have. So it's good to have a team that's out there competing on the circuit, helping with an event, because you get it from the cooker's view, and everything kind of comes together and works well for the cooker. So anytime you got a cooker on board that's been competing some, they know what you got to have, and most teams would not, you know, turn it down to help out the local competition or whatever to set it up the way it needs to be run. So we'll have quite a few teams up there. Like I said, it's at a great venue. I think we talked Smokehouse Mafia and it going up there last week when Jim was on the show. So hopefully we get a few more teams and make it a really big event and have a lot of fun at it. Anyway, we've got a caller on the line. 386-965.
3555.
3555. Is this Gary Blevins?
This is Gary Blevins of Munchie Smokehouse out of beautiful Lake City, Florida. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
Good. I'm doing great, Gary. Hadn't seen you up here at a contest. Usually I see you a couple times before now. But it's good to hear that you pulled off another grand, and, you know, I was really happy for you. I always check to see where you're at. You know, you got your favorite Florida teams. You kind of check on to see how they're doing and all this other stuff. And, you know, we've talked at Lions last year and Boss Hog, and I think we saw you at Boss Hog. We had that little dinner thing on Thursday night.
Yeah, you were gracious enough to invite Perry and myself over for dinner, and we really appreciated it.
Well, that's kind of like what it's all about. You know, we're always pushing for friends and family, and, you know, never meet a stranger. And, you know, we had, like, what, 18 or 20 teams in that thing. Everybody kind of brought something. And I mean, I know y'all from Florida, and you don't really have to bring anything. Yeah, just show up. More than likely, you got more food than we'll ever eat. And, you know, it's just Georgia hospitality. We like to see people have a good time. And, you know, I hadn't seen you in a while, so it's good to catch up on a few things. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's just, you know, hanging out, having a good time, kind of like on a radio show. We just sit here and BS for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and make life go a lot easier.
Well, there's nothing better than barbecue, folks, and there's no better people to hang out with. You know, we've made some very good friends over the years. We've been cooking since the fall of 2005. So we started out doing Florida Barbecue Association, and now we do as many KCBS events as we do FBA events. And I've even branched out and gone with some other people and cooked some of the GBA events. They're sort of strange in how they do things. So, you know, I haven't just been totally wowed with that organization yet.
Well, I'm not saying everybody from Georgia is straight and on the up and up, but yeah, you know, even though I'm from Georgia, you know, a lot of those contests are in South Georgia, and, you know, there's some really good teams that come out of there, like Rescue Smokers and Holy Smokes and a few others. But, you know, it's a little bit different format than what we're used to, number one. Number two, I don't think it's as bad as NBN where you're cooking a whole hog and all that stuff. But you know, I think it's growing. I think they're having trouble trying to move up towards this area, up towards, you know, middle North Georgia, up in that area. But, you know, I did an FBA down there in Dublin. I enjoyed it. Of course, I won grand in it. The only FBA I've ever done. So
that helps in the enjoyment level, didn't it?
Just a little bit. Well, man, we were dodging tornadoes that day. I'm not kidding. My power went out on my trailer. I had to run extension cords, everything. I had a fan burn up on my Memphis pellet smoker, which is what I usually cook my chicken on. So luckily, Don from Georgia Boys was there with his TNT, and he was telling me, I'll put it on the top rack and roll with it. So I did, and I didn't win a grand. And I mean, it was a lot of adversity, man. We looked like wet rats, but we got it done. But FBAs are not easy, I can honestly tell you that. I mean, just the level of competition that's in there. You know, a lot of you guys cross over to KCBS and do very well. So, you know, you're cooking the same meats. You really not change your flavor profile from what I understand. So, you know, you're cooking what you're cooking. And, you know, Rub and Damon and all them, I mean, they do very well. You know, and even you do very well in KCBS. So it's a good blend. I mean, I like FBA because you got an hour in between turn-ins and, you know, set your clock right. You know, you can go. But, you know, a lot of times in KCBS, when you hit that, you know, that 10 to 12 or quarter to 12 mark, you know, you're on go for the next 2 hours. You know, it's just boom, 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 you know, and you're geared up for it. You know, FBA's a little bit more relaxed, kind of like SBN. You have an hour in between each turn-in, no garnish, you know, so you can plan your strategy and, you know, plan your plate and all this other stuff. And, you know, to me, it's a little bit easier on the mind, but, you know, you still got to cook the food and everything.
Well, the biggest difference I see, I mean, we started out, my brother Perry and I, as a team. And my brother sort of has job changes, so his time off is very limited now. And I can still do FBAs by myself and be competitive. But for a KCBS, I really need some help, so I always try to get him to come with me for them.
Yeah.
Doing the garnish and then having the 30-minute windows, it makes it tight for one person to try to do it all.
I did 24 competitions last year and did 12 of them by myself. And this year, luckily my wife's been taking off. You know, we have a little saying that she's never seen me win a grand because all my grands have been when she wasn't there and I was doing them by myself. And so she's trying to get a little, you know, she's getting a little thing like, you know, I don't really need her there. So this year she says she's going to make it to just about all of them if she can. Well, other than Dublin, you know, I took – so she's been there. I've got five or six reserve grands this year, and she was there for every one of them. And then she takes off 2 weekends ago, so I go Union to do a big SBN. You know, they had three meets and sauce and people's choice and all that. So I go up there and win first in pork, second in ribs, second in chicken, and first in people's choice and grand champion. You should talk about one pissed off woman.
Well, my oldest daughter has had that theory, too, that when she's around, you know, I can never win. And
yeah.
We proved that wrong this weekend, because if you look at the pictures on the FDA website, you'll see that the people that got the trophies are my wife and my two daughters, and I wasn't even in the pictures. So, you know, it was a hometown crowd, so we let them go celebrate that.
So they had a pretty good cook, right?
They had a real good cook, apparently. You know, it was one of those things that it wasn't, you know, three first places or anything. It was 2/5 and 2/7, but I got 6/10 of a point on my reserve grand champion Budmeister team, and that's all it took.
Hey, that's, you know, I beat Barbecue down there in Myrtle Beach by 6/10 of a point. And, hey, that's all that matters. I've seen them lose by 2/100,000 of a point. So
that's right. As long as the number's a little bigger, that's all it makes it.
That's right. And kind of like, you know, Ken Nugent, you know, one call, that's all. My theory is last call, that's all. So, Jay, it was good to see you up there. And it being your hometown, it makes it that much sweeter. You know, I took Reserve Grand up here at Banjo-Bacue, and we were vending. Jan was vending. I had a judge helping me. So we ended up Reserve Grand. I kind of separated the vending from the competing side. Rock Gray told me if you're going to bend and compete, you just got to separate it. So we did. Turned out pretty well. But you know, it's kind of like a win for us because, you know, we're a hometown crowd, and there were 76 teams up there. And, I mean, you had Munching Hogs at Hilton and Lotta Bull and Cool Smoke and Johnny Trigg and all sorts of other teams up there, you know. So it kind of made it a hometown doing that good. I mean, I lost that by 6/10 of a point.
That seems to be a stumbling block, doesn't it?
It does, man. I'm like, good Lord, you know. I mean, I lost, you know, I think I had a 5th in chicken and a 9th or 10th in ribs. Didn't get a call in pork or brisket. And to this day, that's where that's the best brisket I ever cooked. And so we're sitting there, we didn't even make top, like, 10. And, you know, getting down around 3rd, and they called Roger, and they had 3 calls. I looked at my wife, and I said, I can't believe we didn't even make top 10. We must have really bombed in them other two. And she looked at me, she goes, you don't know, you could have been 11th in both of those other ones. I said, yeah, with this crowd, what's the odds of that? Sure enough, we got Reserve Grand. We had 11th place in both pork and brisket. I'm like, that just ain't right. But,
you know, the numbers don't lie, though.
No, they don't. But, yeah, just one appearance point away from, you know, at least tying Bob or whatever. But, you know, it was good they won. Bob's a really, really good guy. Him and Belinda both. I mean, just some nicest people you'll ever meet. And, you know.
He's definitely been on a roll this year, too.
Yeah, he was. He's riding that wave for a good long while. He's done okay lately. You know, anytime you get up on a high, you know, you're going to have some lows. And then, after Banjo-Bacue, I was sitting pretty good and, did y'all well and trying and did okay down in Charleston and then Greenwood and Dillard. I don't even think I showed up. And then, you know, started putting myself out of a hole in Franklin and then Greer. I got 4th. And, you know, I was behind Smokehouse and Chick Flying Bovine and Midnight Burn. And, well, you know, it's coming back. I had 3 good calls up there and bombed in Port. So then we go to, Myrtle Beach and start putting things together. Had one appearance score from a perfect score and brisket. That's the second time that's happened this year. But, you know, get Reserve Grand down and get 3 good calls. You know, I have a 2nd and 1st in brisket, 2nd in chicken, and like 10th in pork. And I think my ribs took the weekend off, but actually I took two reserves down there. I took a reserve grant in SBN, Southern Barbecue Network, and then a reserve in KCBS on the same day. So Roger made a quote, said I was in a tailspin downward because I won two grands there last year. So I can only muster two grands this year. So
you didn't fall far, so I guess that's nothing really to cry too bad about.
That's what he said. He said, well, you might have twisted an ankle or something. That's about it. But anyway, then the following weekend I take grand. So, and there's some pretty good KCBS teams up at this SBN. There's, you know, you had some good South Carolina teams there. And, you know, the South Carolina teams really cooked some pork. I actually got some help from one of the teams. He's going to be calling in here a little bit later. He needs some help with the brisket. And I need a little help with some pork. So we just kind of traded a few things, and it's worked for me so far. He hadn't cooked a brisket yet, but he's actually coming over to my house tomorrow night. I'm going to show him how I trim a brisket and, you know, what to do to it, kind of help him out. Like I said, he kind of helped me out big time 2 weeks ago, so, you know, it's the least I could do.
Well, since we're on the subject of brisket, do you go the Wagyu route or the prime route or what?
Well, you know, if you get prime from the Midwest, it's just like a Wagyu. I mean, the fat content is just phenomenal. But I've kind of stuck with the Wagyu. You know, I cook a lot of choice and select from my wife's sandwich shop, you know, the IBPs. And, you know, they turn out pretty good. But, you know, if you got that much money riding on it, it's really about another 40, 50 bucks. You know, it's to me, it just gives me that, I don't know, that confidence or the level that, you know, I'm starting off with a really good piece of meat. And
the thing that I've found here lately is that the Wagyu just doesn't seem to be, I mean, the thickness of the flats isn't there, and the overall quality of the meat sort of dropped. I mean, I don't know whether it's the feeding procedures or what's the deal, but something since the middle of the summer has been off.
Well, the big thing is, you know, all the teams are buying them up in April and May, you know. And they were out of them for a while. And I think now they were butchering some that weren't quite there yet, so to speak. I mean, when I did the one in Cornelia, I did it with it started off to be a 14-pound brisket. So after I trimmed it, it was about 11 pounds. And I got, to that date, I'd gotten my highest brisket score ever. And the flat wasn't no thicker than probably 3/4 of an inch. And, but then I got some thirds and fourths with the smaller briskets. I started running out of them. And, you know, like I said, I bombed up in Greenwood and Dillard with them. So, but they've come back. I got a first against Chick Swine Bovine up there in Greer and Smokehouse Mafia and a bunch of other teams up there. So I said, well, you know, to me, now this is my opinion, it just gives me, you know, the confidence that, you know what, if I cook this piece of meat right, it's going to be right. But, you know, when you get one of those other pieces of meat, in my opinion also, I think you really need to do a few other things to it than just what you normally do to a Wagyu. And if you can find one with good fat content, that's the key. But, you know, I've been beating several, you know, Brad from Lane, he cooks a lot of those IBPs, and he does pretty well with them. So, you know, I guess it's just the recipes you use and stuff.
I think it's also the cooking style. You know, Meyer is hot and fast. If I did hot and fast, I would definitely go for them every time. Because in that it seems that they come out much more tender than other brisket.
Right, it doesn't dry out as much, so to speak. So now what you're doing, you're kind of gradually rendering the fat and all that stuff, and, you know, setting your bark, and you're not trying to burn it up like, you know, Meyer and them have to do. They have to have that fat content in there so it doesn't just slap turn into a hockey puck.
Right.
So. You know, and it will, and from what Brad said out there in the West, he said, I figured out the key to cooking brisket out West. I said, what's that? Go salt, pepper, and burn the shell out of it. He said, you got your Western brisket right there. I said, okay. But, you know, the meat quality is just so much better in the Midwest. I mean, that's where all the things are. You know, they're great of meat, you know. It's towards the higher end of the grade than what we get over here. I mean, we're in the armpit of the world for good beef, so.
I think to a large degree that the better meat goes to the bigger metropolitan areas. just what you could find in New York and what you could find in Miami is better meat than what we're going to find in Jacksonville.
Right, right. But, you know, it, yeah, a lot of people do use the primes, but when I looked at the price of the primes, by the time I could get a prime here, I could get a Snake River Farm or something, you know, or even a Stru Branch, you know. Wagner's been using Stru Branch, been doing pretty good with those. So. I just got me some Beastie Boys in here the other day. I think one was 20.2 pounds, the other one 19.4, and the other one 19.2. So I got some Beastie Boys coming up from my Sam's Club. Rendezvous coming up, so to speak. So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. One of them, I got one in there. I mean, I'm not kidding, Gary. That, the thing's about, looks like a big, I don't know, 4-inch thick piece of wood. I mean, it's thick. The flat on it's got to be 3 inches thick. It's just, I have never gotten one.
That's a Stru Branch?
No, it's a Snake River.
Oh, okay.
But, it started off at 20. This one I got in a few weeks ago, and it started off about 20, right around 20 pounds, 19.8 pounds, I think. But it didn't have that, you know how they start tapering off at the bottom? They got a real narrow flat down
right
towards the bottom. This one stayed thick all the way through. I mean, it's probably 3 inches thick at the end. And I know some of it's fat, but, you know, I hope it ain't all fat. but you know, it just looked like a big old hunk of, like a side of beef. And I mean, it was probably one of the best briskets I've ever seen as far as the flat thickness and everything else. So I'm going to be cooking that hopefully this weekend up in Nashville and see how it turns out. You know, who knows? I might
well,
look up.
I wish you luck at the Sam's contest. One of my good friends is going up there from Florida, GB, Gordon Bryant.
Yeah.
And I hope Gordon pulls through and, you know, comes out of there and gets to go on too.
Yeah, you didn't do Sam's Club, did you?
I cooked the one in Ocala,
okay. And
I got a first in pork, and I got killed in brisket, and it just wound up 11th out of 30, so it didn't do me any good.
No, that's true. That was like me last year. I think I finished like 12th, 13th overall, and, you know, I saw you down at Lyons, so I know neither one of us made it last year either. So,
for some reason, the Sam's Club things just haven't really worked out for me.
Well,
go
ahead.
Sometimes things are meant to be, and sometimes they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, and the thing about it was, you know, when I got through Sam's Club down to Charleston, I got a sixth place, and I was not real happy with my cook. You know, things just started falling apart at the end. It's different if you had that adversity in the beginning or through the middle, you can kind of overcome it, but right there at the end, it was like, you know, nothing really felt that good. You know, I wasn't really happy with my cook, and it showed my scores. I mean, I played it the same way, and, you know, the chicken, some of them, most of them bit through. I had one or two that didn't. I'm like, well, you know, if I parlay over to there, I mean, I did get a chicken call, but my pork let me down again. And, yeah, I did finish sixth overall down there and squeaked in, and I was a little upset about it. And I was like, well, you just wipe it clean and go on to the next one. I said, you know, I kind of take these, you know, I don't take them overly serious, but, you know, if I go to a cook, I want to have a good cook, you know. And I just felt like I let this one get away from me a little bit. And it was on me. It wasn't on anybody else. You know, I was mad at myself. I wasn't mad at anything else. And, you know, I think, you know, you can do better than this. So, and then I go to Greenwood and get my ass kicked there and get my ass kicked to Dillard. And I'm like, well, maybe that wasn't so bad. So, you know, but like I said, you take the good with the bad. I've been cooking the same stuff, you know, all year. And, you know, you just go to some contest, you're just not going to do that well out. But you can't let it bother you. You just keep on cooking and keep on queuing, so to speak, and, you know, come back around, you know.
Well, I would like to plug a contest while we've got a second.
Go ahead.
And it's an FBA contest. It's in Jessup, Georgia, which Jessup is about 45 minutes or so below Savannah, and it's a little bit inland right off of 301. It's a nice little town. The people are real friendly. They've got a good prize package. I think it's a $10,000 overall purse. And then the Grand Champion Trophy is a Henry Golden Boy Presentation Grade Rifle. And it's about, you know, it's like an $800 rifle. So, you know, Grand walking out of there is going to be a real good day for somebody. And it's a great contest. Win, lose, or draw, you'll have a good time.
Is that the same?
Go ahead.
Is that the same place they had the Best of the Best or something down in there?
No, the Best of the Best started out in Douglas, Georgia, which is the home of the National Barbecue News, and then they moved it over to Waycross for 2 years.
That's
and Waycross to Jessup. Waycross is about an hour south of Jessup.
Okay. I knew they were down in that area. So I was getting Waycross. You know, we tell us where Waycross, where Jessup was. I was thinking Jessup was down by Jacksonville, but actually Waycross is.
Right.
So,
as you come out of Savannah and you go on the old road, which would be 301 coming down that way, you come into Hinesville where Fort Stewart is, and then the next town of any note is Jessup.
Right.
It's about 25 miles below Hinesville, Georgia.
Right. That's right there by Fort Stewart and everything.
It's not far off the reservation. You know, Fort Stewart's a huge facility. You drive to Fort Stewart, it's like a 15 or 20 mile drive through it. It's a huge facility.
And back right after I got out of college, I used to cruise timber, and we worked for a private forest consultant. We used to cruise a lot of timber down there on Fort Stewart. And, yeah, that was back when, you know, in our mid-80s, Cold War, and they were practicing with their, you know, tanks and artillery and all that stuff. It'd rattle you. It really would, even though you're a couple miles away. It would, what would it take somebody to just, like, whoops, bump it, and, you know, you're down a cruising timber. I mean, you can feel the earth shake even from that far away. So it was,
When they started the assault on Iraq, Fort Stewart has two divisions. And I want to say a division is like 30-something thousand troops. But they pulled both of those divisions out of that. And you talk about a town, Hinesville, Georgia, just dried up and almost died.
Really?
It was to the point that the McDonald's and the Burger King, they were opening a couple hours for breakfast and a couple hours for lunch. I mean, when you take 60,000 troops, and then you probably take that many more family and associated people, it wiped that town down bad.
Yeah, because you go from, 100,000 people to 10, you know?
Yeah, and those were the people who had the money to spend, too. That was the bad part.
Yeah, because they got a paycheck every week, no matter what, or every month, should I say. They got paid on the first of the month. And
apparently when they send the troops out for a long deployment, all their family and stuff go home. So all the people that rented trailers and apartments and everything else, I mean, it dried up the whole town. It was unbelievable what it did to Hinesville.
Yeah, you know, we've got Fort Gordon up here. Charlie Norwood, when he was alive, you know, he really pushed. You know, a lot of the people around him didn't know why he was pushing so hard and all this other stuff. But, you know, people who knew him, you know, got him elected to get into Congress. They really pushed to keep the Fort Gordon open. It was one of the two signal battalions left in the country. And it was us or some, I don't know where the other place was. But anyway, they decided to keep it open. Now they're building like crazy, but they closed the other base. Well, we've got all those people coming over here. You know, it's training for Navy, Air Force, Marines, Army, you name it. They're over here. You can see them at different restaurants and stuff, and all of them wearing a different type of army fatigues and everything, different colors and stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool. But I'm going to tell you one thing I see a lot, and I've done it before too, is, you know, you see a couple of soldiers out there and stuff. You know, several people, including myself, have bought them their lunch anonymously. You know, you got to support the troops, and I know barbecue a lot like country folk. They we're big in, you know, helping the military out, them in every way we can. So, you know, that's just a small token of our appreciation for that. And, you know, they really appreciate it. You know, they're like, well, I appreciate that. You don't have to, but, you know, and they thank you gracious.
And they give up so much.
They do. I mean, their time, their family, I mean, it's,
that's
you know,
like putting your life on hold.
Exactly. And, you know, and yeah, they chose it. You know, that was their choice. But you know what? Their choice was to protect us, keep our freedom and everything else. The least we could do is help them out. You know, if you can't go to certain functions or whatever, well, buy them a lunch or a dinner or something. It's not going to kill you. And it's going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside when you do it. So, you know, like I said, we've talked to several at these restaurants because, you know, me doing landscape and everything, we're out, you know, we don't take our lunch or anything. Whatever's close by, we'll go eat. And, you know, we do a lot of work around the fort. And so, you know, they're very appreciative of it. They don't sit there and try to give you the money back or anything, which you don't want, you know, and start, like, you know, make you feel bad or anything. But, you know, they're like, well, you know, we really appreciate that. That's a mighty nice gesture, and that's what you want, you know. And like I said,
really?
It makes you feel bad.
Every year at Christmas time, on Christmas Eve, there's a charity in Valdosta, Georgia, called Feed the Needy, and they prepare meals, and they have it to the point that people can come in and get various kinds of assistance. But we do a barbecue chicken dinner. And 2 years ago, we fed 5,000 people. Last year, we fed 4,000 people. And we get out there and cook all night and cook 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of chicken to feed those people. And, you know, that's it's a hard night, but it's a very satisfying thing when you get to the cooker and come home.
But it ain't all about the money. It's all about the gratification that you help, you know, other people out, and you've taken your skill and, you know, your money or your, you know, your livelihood, and you've kind of gone out and helped other people with it. And, I mean, it just makes you feel good. But I didn't want to cut you short on your event. I know, like I said, it's just in Georgia. What are the dates? And
okay, it is October the 19th and the 20th. And the contact person, this is on the FBA website. If you go to the FBA website and go to the contest page, it's on there. But Bill Harvey is the person that has been the organizer for this contest for several years. And his number is 912-202-2313. They do a great spaghetti dinner on Friday night for the teams, and they do breakfast on Saturday morning. It's just a very welcoming thing, and everybody in Jessup turns out and makes you feel like they appreciate you being there, which I know you've been to contests, and it seems like it makes the people mad that you're there, that you're taking up their space. So it's nice to go somewhere where they actually want you.
Yeah, we've only been to one or two like that, you know, it wasn't really cooker-friendly, But, you know, most of them, you know, and you've been to Waynesboro several years.
Oh, Waynesboro is one of my favorite contests. If I quit barbecuing, that would be the only one I do.
Those old ladies come out from Waynesboro, and they put on a breakfast spread. Oh, my God. It's just, I think Bubba from BBQ told me last year, he said, I just come down here and eat breakfast.
And, you know, you can go in there at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody's just laid out cookies and they got the coffee brewing. They really put out everything for the teams.
That's the only place where you don't have to eat barbecue and still gain 10 pounds. So, but, I mean, I'm not kidding people. They have 3 or 4 different kinds of eggs. And Gary's back me up. They have 3 or 4 different kinds of grits, bacon, and sausage. They would have had 3 or 4 different kinds of sausages this year, and biscuits and sausage gravy and, you know, juice, milk, toast, the whole nine yards, cereal. I mean, it was just unreal.
And it's always pretty Southern ladies serving, too.
That's right. And it's always hot. I mean, that's one thing I get. I never got any cold eggs. They made sure they had the right equipment there to keep it nice and warm. And you know, every one of them said, you know, we thank you for being here. You know, so, you know, we're going to go spend our money in the local economy and give them a little boost. And I think Taylor's there. Did you go eat at Taylor's when you were there?
No, I haven't.
Well, next year
I went out and patronized one of the local strawberry growers and got some fresh strawberries and strawberry jelly and strawberry syrup and everything else for the contest.
Well, they've got some really good strawberries in that area too. But Taylor's is a little home cooking place down there. It's called Taylor's Barbecue, believe it or not. So you tell somebody you're gonna go eat there. What you gonna eat barbecue for? No, let me explain this to you. You're gonna you get a meat and three or something for like $7. And you go in there and get pork chops the size of a freaking plate. I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, you go through, they'll have anywhere from 5 to 8 meats there, and they'll have, you know, 12 to 15 veggies. And, I mean, all that's home cooked. I mean, I don't think probably most of it at that time of year is pretty fresh. So but they just do a really good job. Yeah, they have barbecue, they have ribs and pulled pork and stuff. But, you know, those pork chops, man, I'll tell you what. It's hard to get any better than that, and you cannot eat two of them. Now, Steve Finger from Smoke This can, but of course he don't ever give up. But those man, we'll make a point next year at Boss Hog. I'm gonna take you over there because it's a really cool little place. It's where all the locals go. So you know, that's what you do. You know, it's one thing to give all your money to a chain restaurant or whatever, but, you know, it makes you feel better when you patronize the local people. Because, you know, we own a local restaurant, you know, a little sandwich shop stuff. You know, we really appreciate people coming down and seeing us. A lot of people come back. A lot of people come from miles out of their way just because they had to get this sandwich or whatever. I mean, truckers, you know, they'll take the detour around Augusta, just come down there to get them a sandwich or whatever and go on. So it makes us feel good when people will go out of the way to do that. And but it shows, you know, my wife does really good quality food down there, and people keep coming back. So where's your next contest at?
I'm going to go to Dothan, Alabama. It's a new KCBS contest. This will be the first time it's happened. And it's going to be October the 5th and 6th. And then I'll do Jessup, and I'm going to do Lyons, Georgia this year. So October, I'll do three in October.
Right. Yeah, I saw you in Lyons last year and talked to you for a little while.
2 years ago, I reserved Lyons. I got a first in pork and came out of there with reserve. I got beat by Chatham Artillery.
Yeah, Bill likes that event. Well, Bill's supposed to be going to the Sam's Club this weekend. I don't know if he's going or not, but you know, last year I think he blew his Sam's Club up to Marietta just because he wanted to go to Lyons. I mean, that's kind of the feeling I got from him. He wasn't really into that that contest, but because I told him, you know, if you go national, you got to give up Lyons. He goes, I don't know if I give up Lyons. I said, dude, man, you're going for, you know, 10 times the money.
Well, you know, if there's anybody out there that goes to the beat of their own drum, it's Bill.
Yeah, he just, you know, some of the things he does don't make any rhyme or reason, but, you know, that's just him. That's the way he's been cooking, and it works for him, and, you know, he can pick and choose. He doesn't really have to worry about sponsors, you know, pushing him to do this, pushing him to do that, and he kind of does his own thing, and yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, he's a little quiet. You got to get to know him and stuff. Once you get to know him, he'll come up and talk to you and harass you a little bit and move on.
And, you know, and he has proven out to be a really good cook and has won some good contests. I mean, when he won the one down at Daytona 2 years ago, he won Dillard and Daytona, and he won several contests, just bang, bang, bang. Like everybody else, he's sort of gotten cold this year, it looks like.
Yeah, well, he won trying, too, that year, didn't he?
I think he's won trying twice, hasn't he? Or has he won Dillard twice?
He's won
trying twice.
He's won trying twice. He's only won Dillard once because that was the first year him and Danny got in there. And they hadn't been in about 2 or 3 years. But, yeah, he was on a roll. I mean, he wouldn't win the little ones. He always had to win the big-ass ones, you know, biggest prize money and stuff. So,
thing in Daytona, that was like a 12-5 grand or something.
Yeah, he said he won.
They're smiling.
Yeah, he won almost, he said over $13,000 at that one. So, you know, he did very well. You know, I got to admit, he put it together and, you know, placed. He's been toying with some of his recipes, what he told me. And, you know, he did one last year at Lake Oconee. And he's like, well, I guess they don't like this, this, and this, and this. I said, you really tried that here? He goes, yeah. I'm like, Phil, man, go to a South Carolina or something like that, you know, event, you know, the practice. but yeah, he did something. I can't remember what he did, but he said he put some type of glaze on three of his meats, and he's like, yes, they don't like that. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I mean, that's just Bill. He was either going to hit a home run or, you know, strike out. And he told me, well, it looked like a strikeout. I'll just go back to the next one. You know, but I guess sometimes, you know, when you have a class like that, and you know, everybody's kind of looking for that little edge where you can get, you know, maybe 5 or 6 contests you do really, really good in, maybe win a couple of them, and nobody else knows what the hell you're doing. It's that type of thing, you know, because it will eventually get out, you know, just through the grapevine or whatever, you know. Really, most of the teams out there are pretty much doing the same thing, but, you know, you just have to cook the meat and make sure you get good quality meat to cook. But, you know, I guess, is that Dothan? Is that that's KCBS, right?
You know, like I say, it's the first year, and it's the KCBS Cold Pork Tober Cube. And it's the same lady, Carrie Farrell, that puts on the FBA one in the spring. She actually has a production company where she does events for different things, corporate events, whatever. So this is what she does, and she puts on a good contest. She actually does her homework and makes sure that everybody's happy, and you know, gets good sponsorship. And she's a professional in what she does, which is sort of unique in as far as organizers go. Most of them, it's just a hobbyist thing or something they got elected to.
Right. Well, that's good. You know, we've gotten a few more events in Georgia this year, and I think there's going to be a few more next year. I know Florida's real heavy in FBA. Like South Carolina is in South Carolina Barbecue Association. You know, are y'all getting any new KCBS events in Florida, or is most of those just FBAs?
You know, it is really and truly the contests that have been FBAs have sort of stayed FBA, and the contests that have been KCBS have stayed KCBS, and it's sort of stagnant as far as new contests. I mean, it'll be a new contest pop up, and they'll do it 1 year, and they don't make any money, and that's it.
Right.
A lot of the times, these people come out with grand ideas, and it's really hard to put on a barbecue contest and make a bit of money out of it without a lot of sponsorship. And they don't realize that, and they don't get their sponsorship up and going beforehand. And then when they come to the end of it and they realize, well, we didn't make any money or we lost money and we worked our butt off to do it, then it's a one-time deal.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, the best thing they can do is the thing that I'm putting on a contest is give us a, you know, most reps would have you tag along or organizers would have you tag along and just kind of see how they do the successful one. And that way you can kind of get an idea of what kind of work is involved, the kind of sponsorship that's needed, you know, the facilities, you know, just the overall picture of the contest. And, you know, that way they'll get a better picture and they can say, well, you know, it might be more work than what we're willing to do. Or, you know, if we can get so-and-so, you know, they can start getting their sponsors. It's not a, you know, it's not a 4 or 5 month thing. It's a year long thing. To get all your sponsorships enough. You got to have some really good sponsors, too.
Well, you know, they go and they look at something like Lakeland, and they see here there's 50, 60,000 people come to Lakeland. It's so much that they have to bus the people in and out to get there, and they don't realize that the first 2 or 3 years of Lakeland wasn't like that.
Right.
No, they're just taking 10 or 15 years to get like that.
Yeah, got to go through the growing pains. You know, I've been trying, you know, I think they discontinued it almost in 1 year. And I talked to one of the ladies that was helping organizing it, and she said, yeah, it's a gate fee this year. And because last year was kind of a so-so year, you know, so they lowered
right.
gate fee. And what they did is the barbecue vendors, they put like maybe a 15 to 20% thing on the barbecue vendors, on any of the food vendors, to kind of help make up the gate fee. And, you know, so the barbecue vendors over there, you know, they just added it to the price of the food. And, you know, they had so many people there, they ran out of barbecue on Saturday afternoon. I mean,
That's a great feeling. That is a great feeling to sell out.
And I think Tommy Houston from Checkered Pig was vending it, and I forgot how many pounds of barbecue he could. But he was done. He was out. I mean, me and my wife at the awards walked through there. All the barbecue vendors were out. They had huge bands there. And you could get, I think corn dogs were sold out. I think you still get some hot dogs. You get definitely get ice cream and a few other things. I mean, it was just, I mean, most of the vendors were out. I mean, there was that many people just came in. And
well, you
she
know,
came by.
That's the one bad thing about vending barbecue. You can't do that 10-hour pork butt in 10 minutes.
No, that's just it. You know, you can only bring so many pounds and go from there. You know, we did pretty good at Banjo-Bacue. We went through a lot of meat up there, but we planned it just about right. I think we had a half a pan left Saturday night. So
that's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't get any more perfect than that. So, you know, it worked out pretty well for us. And my wife made money. She and her crew over there, and she made some money, and you know, we made money on the competition and stuff. So it was really a win-win situation. I mean, really, truthfully, it's just an overall great weekend for us.
That new facility was nice.
Yeah, see,
I didn't know enough about the place to understand where it was going to be, and I guess that park was brand new anyhow. But that new facility, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, Lady Antebellum, they went to school right here by my house. I don't live a mile from there. And the two guys that are in that band, the group put up over $1 million to build that amphitheater up there. And the county had always planned on making that, everybody called it Kroger Field, because, you know, it's behind Kroger, and Kroger donated that land for that. So, you know, it took shape. They were going to have it there the first year of Van Jovi Q, but they couldn't get the logistics right. They were in the planning stage of it, so they didn't want anybody out there on there doing something like that. And then last year, they were actually constructing it, you know. It finished up in October, I believe, but it was all dirt and everything when, you know, May came around. So this year, they actually came to Doug Varnador, who runs the Budweiser place up there. They actually came to him and said, look, to give you free rent, you bring your contest over here. And Doug was like, you know, I was already figuring on paying for it, but he said, they're going to give it to me free. I'll bring everything I got. So they put on a really, really good event up there. And, you know, make a really good model.
Well, you know, and that whole thing, Christy does such a great job with that, and she does such a great job with the teams. There again, that falls into one of my favorite contests.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like I said, you know, Christy's really good with the teams. And, you know, they make sure you have plenty of power and water and everything. And Doug's really good at things. He came to my trailer after turn-ins and everything. And yeah, he just kind of sat down. And he goes, you got any brisket left? I said, yeah. And he started eating on it. Doug, man, this really – and he kept smiling all the damn time. And he goes, this is really good brisket and blah, 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 blah. And he got a call and He was trying to get some air conditioning out there, and he got a call from Chris, and he said, well, I'm over here in Killer Bee's thing. And I didn't hear what she said. He goes, oh, Chris needs me. I got to go. So as soon as he walked out the door, Chris was right there. And she goes, hey. I said, hey, how you doing? She kind of gave Doug because he shitless. So he went over to my Waylon. And when I go ask him, say, how's it doing? So I'm doing pretty well. He said, if your neighbor did really well or something like that, he just kept on walking. And so Chris came out and got a piece of brisket. She goes, that is really good brisket. So you should do well. Christy knew who I was already reserved grand. And she was coming over. Doug wasn't say shit because she said, I can't say nothing around Doug. So he cannot keep a secret. So she said, I had to come over to make sure he wasn't going to say nothing. And she said, well, I found out he was in your trailer. She goes, I told him to get the F out of your trailer and get away from you.
Well, your buddy Waylon must have done a great steak.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. He said, Doug goes over and tells him, so anytime you want to cook me a steak, just let me know. And walks away. And Waylon, like, you don't know what to make of it at that point. You know, you're in competition mode or, you know, bending mode or whatever. You just kind of take a grain of salt. But after the fact, you know, we talked to Doug for a little while, just had a good laugh. Doug goes, man, I want to tell you so bad. And Christy goes, that's why I had to tell him to get the hell out of your damn trailer. He needed to say something. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, but that's what makes it all good. You know, you got organizers there having a good time. You even know they're working their butts off. Teams are having a good time. You know, it was a really, really, really good venue. I really enjoyed it because, like I said, I can just about push my grill up there without a vehicle. But you know, I'm glad, you know, hearing from other people how much they enjoyed the venue and everything. It just made it so much nicer. So, I know you've done a lot of good pork lately and everything. Have you done any competitions in South Carolina? Or?
I've never done a South Carolina sanctioned one, no. I have cooked Greenwood, and the people that actually got me started competition cooking is a team out of Spartanburg called the Barbecue Pit Crew. It's Roger and Wayne Waddell. I mean, they're okay. The ones that got me started doing this back in 05. So they're the ones I blame for this obsession.
Yeah, I don't know who to blame for me. We just woke up this. I got a buddy of mine that wanted us to do some local wild game, and they had barbecue as one of the things. Spawned in my first year, didn't enter the barbecue the second year, and then the last 3 years, I did quite a few things that other people never. I've taken first place, but I entered it twice and took first and second. So pissed off a lot of people. I just wanted to prove a point that they did score. You know, they did give you what you scored.
Right.
And the other thing I like about it is they said my fork was better than my ribs, and I want a recall. I said, them ribs were spot on. They were better than that fork. But, but yeah, you know, we had fun there. We didn't do it this past year. It kind of coincided with another event I was trying to do. And, you know, some of them you just can't do. And I was almost going to try to pull a double, but glad I didn't. I'll put it that way. I didn't do well in the one I went to, but still, it would have been, you know, it would have been too much on us to try to do two of them on the same day. I mean, I could have made it back to the other one, but I don't know. It was just too much too early. So I've got a couple South Carolina teams on the line. We're going to talk some more Q&A and KCBS and World Food Championships and all that.
Well, hey, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with you. I had a great time. And, you know, I wish you well with the show, and I'll become a listener.
Well, I hope you will. Like I said, we try to have different teams on every week, and some of them are very informative like you, and some of them not so much like my next two characters coming online. I'll pay for that. But, now they're really good guys. They're both friends of mine, and, you know, one of them lives 10 miles away. The other one's about maybe 15, 20 miles away. But both of them are good competitors. They're good competitors in their right and in their own mind, I guess. But, no, they're good friends of mine. But any shout-outs you want to give? Got any sponsors you want to give a shout-out to? Or, you know?
Well, you know, this year I've sort of gone everything on my own. Yeah, I really appreciate all the help and assistance that Ben Lang Barbecue Smokers, has given me over the years. I'm really a strong supporter, and I believe in the Lang Cooker. I love them. So I would have to say that Ben, you know, I have to give a big shout out to Ben, and I really appreciate all his support.
Yeah,
but other than that, you know, it's my wife and two daughters that's kept me plugging in doing this.
So they're part to blame too, huh?
They're part of the ones to blame too.
Well, do they say, hey, guy, you can either do the Sunny Do List or you can go compete? Well, there's a no-brainer. Now, Ben has really been a real staple in professional barbecuing with his smokers and the contributions and everything that he gives. I mean, he supports barbecue pit masters, and he's a really good guy, and he really loves barbecue, and, you know, he supports a lot of teams and stuff out there, too. So, you know, our hat's off to Ben. He's kind of a good pioneer of this sport, and, you know, hopefully he'll keep up the good work and, you know, keep a lot of teams happy. Well, Gary, it was good to have you on the show. And any Monday night that you get bored out of your mind and you want to get something off your chest, just feel free to call in, and I'll put you on, and we'll go from there.
All right. Sounds good. And I sure appreciate it.
Gary, have a good one, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye. Our next caller is Jeff Smith from Smoking Stack. He's been holding on here for quite a while. And he is, I think he's in second place in the South Carolina Barbecue Association for Team of the Year. And he's a friend of mine, and he's kind of helped me out, and I'm going to help him out tomorrow night, I hope. Maybe he'll learn something. But I know I did just from what he said. So, Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was listening to what y'all said about the barbecue contest down in Waynesboro. We done that one this year. That's definitely one of those contests you want to go back to, because they definitely take care of the cookers that are down there.
Right. Well, I'm going to put Waylon on. Waylon's a wickedly good Q. I'm going to put both y'all on.
Okay.
Waylon's traveling up to Richmond, Virginia for his job and everything, and hopefully he's scoring some pork ribs for us. But he was down there at Ballsaw this year. Y'all cooked the competition against one another this past weekend. up in Lake City, South Carolina.
Yeah, and Waylon had a good weekend.
Yeah, he it was kind of a whole hog, ribs, chicken wings, whatever else you throw in the bucket type competition. But let's talk a little bit about you. How did you fare? I think you got fifth overall. Is that correct?
No, I was ninth overall.
Ninth overall.
Yeah, smoking stacks. We kind of crashed and burned. That's one of the few whole hog contests we do this year. I don't know. It just didn't go well. I mean, it's just one of those cooks. I mean, we have those every once in a while. I hope they're less than happening too often anyway. Don't have many like that, but I just couldn't get my hog to do right. I wasn't happy with the way he cooked, and I built the best box that I could with what I had and turned it in. You just have contests that go that way sometimes.
Well, Mike Greenwood and Diller were a lot like that, and I know Waylon feels the same way. I mean,
yep. There's
something that just turns out really good, and there's one or two categories just like, man, what the hell happened?
Yeah, well, this whole hog contest that we cooked this time, we went back to cooking on the old stick burner. And, we're a backwoods team with a South Carolina backwoods dealer. But I didn't have a backwoods whole hog cooker, so I went back to my old stick burner. And it's kind of like learning all over again. I hadn't cooked a whole hog on it since last year. And, things just didn't fall into place like they should have. But that's okay. We over it, and we're moving on to next weekend.
So that's what you got to do. You got to get over your last competition, if it's a good one or a bad one, and, start from scratch. You go do what you've been doing and keep cooking what you've been cooking. And, if things are meant to be, you got to be there. If not, then, there's always other competition next week pretty much.
That's right. I mean, we'll be back next weekend. We'll be back on our regular competition trailer with our backwoods smokers and everything. So I hope to get back on track and get to moving right along. This last weekend cost me second place in the points. Brian Teague, he won that event, so that put him, I think, 10 or even 12 points ahead of me for second place. But, we'll catch you back. It'll just take a few little bit, but we'll catch you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what a small world it is. We went out and did a contest in Myrtle Beach. We went out Sunday night with Roger Marshall from Pickin' Porkers. We went down to Myrtle's Inlet and ate at one of our favorite restaurants. We hadn't been there in a while, but it was Drunken Jack's down there in Myrtle's Inlet. Great seafood. If you ever get a chance there, oh, man, it's really, really good. Where our waiter, believe it or not, came up, talked to this young guy, and we're telling him, we're at the barbecue competition and everything, and he goes, my uncle does that competition barbecue stuff. I've been with him a couple times or whatever. I said, really? What's his name? He goes, Brian Teague. I went, you're kidding me.
Brian does really well.
I said, yeah, I know Brian. I said, he's a great guy. He goes, oh, yeah, he's my uncle. I got to say he's great. But his nephew was great. He was a really good waiter. And, I mean, he just had that, Roger's competed against Brian a lot. That just tells you how small this world is.
That's exactly right. You run into people all over the place. I mean, I see people all the time, and they know me from barbecue. I mean, I don't know a lot of them, but they know me.
You just can't get away from people.
That's right. That's a good thing, because, if you was out there wasn't doing the right thing, you wouldn't nobody know, wouldn't nobody care,
That's right.
We try to do the right thing and, promote the barbecue as best we can, promote the sport the best we can, and, it all works out. We have a good time doing it.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to try to get together tomorrow night on this little brisket issue you're having. I do appreciate you helping me out with my little pork problem, and I'm going to be using it this week and hopefully do pretty well. Like I said, if you can consistently stay in top 10 of pork, you're going to consistently do really well in the Any FBA, KCBS, any of them, FPN, you're going to do very well in any of those with good pork scores. And I've always told people, I still tell people, some of the best pork cooks in the country are in South Carolina, and there's stuff in South Carolina.
Yep. I mean, that's what we cook every weekend. We, you know, we're cooking pork and ribs, and that's about it. And, you know, that's what we're good
at. I can't cook nothing else but pork. That's right. You know, people out west, you may have some people that are healthy because they can't do worth a crap in KCBS, but I said, you know, it's but it's getting back, you know, where teams help one another out and everything, and, you know, we've been friends and competitors and stuff, and, you know, we were kind of thinking along the same lines, like, well, you know, I got to find out what I'm reporting back, and if you called me up, said, you know, you had a brisket that went south and needed some help. We're both in the World Food Championships, along with Chris Fulmer from Ultimate Tailgaters from the area. So, you know, that's a pretty large prize right there. But, you know,
yeah,
like I said.
I don't mind helping you. You know, we help each other. And you know, a lot of the teams in South Carolina are like that. You know, some of them will tell you some stuff, but some of them won't. But, you know, I'll share the information that what we're doing because, you know, you still got to turn out a good product. You might know what I'm doing, but, you know, it still may not work for you like it does me and vice versa, you know.
Well, everybody's technique's a little bit different and everything, so what might work for you might not work for, you know, me, or might not work for Waylon or whatever. But, you know, it's, you know, I just appreciate it when you tell me on the phone what you did. You know, me doing as many competitions as I did, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
But like brisket, y'all don't cook brisket, and it's for me to know what you do. So that's why tomorrow night, you know, y'all just gonna come over and I'm gonna show you how to do it. So I'm gonna be turning my brisket for the regional. So I'm
right.
not changing it. You're gonna know everything I do for it. Like I said, you still got to be able to cook it.
Okay.
And that's been a big problem this year. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my briskets have been, you know, off and on. I mean, you know, I've never won a first place. And well, I have in a non-sanctioned event. I've won brisket one time, and
right.
You know, I thought the brisket was awful. You know, it was way overcooked. But you know, it, like I said, it was a non-sanctioned event. The judges, I reckon, they went for the taste and not the tenderness and the texture and all that, because, like I said, it was way overcooked. But, you know, I hope that I can sit down with you and get on the right track, because I do have to cook a brisket out in Vegas, and I'm gonna cook a brisket at every event that I cook between now and then just to practice and, you know, get online with that so that I have a chance when I get out to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's a big time and thing. Doing certain things to it, you know. Everybody's like, how long does it take you? Sometimes it takes me, you know, 8 hours, sometimes 12. Why? Well, you get a brisket that hangs up.
Yeah.
You get enough time to get it done and without really adjusting the temperature up unless you have to. But, you know, it's like barbecue. Good barbecue, you can't rush. I'm sorry.
That's right. You know, that was one of my problems this weekend with the hog that I had. I mean, he hung up and I give myself 12 hours to cook him, and he got hung up and never got over that hump. You know, the meat was done, but, you know, but it just wasn't have the texture tenderness that I normally have.
The more you do it, it's more of a practice. And I know I got Waylon on the other line. He can chime in at any time. He's on the edge. But,
good evening, guys. I'm sorry, I've been going through in and out of traffic here, so I was just listening to y'all talk a little bit here.
But, you know, Waylon does some whole hogs for people, you know, some catering and stuff. So he gets a little bit of practice on some whole hogs and stuff. So, you know, it may be one you might want to get a few pointers from.
We talked a little bit down there at Lake City last weekend. And, I mean, I think there was one team in between me and him. And, you know, we stood around and talked a little bit, had a good time, and enjoyed, you know, talking to everybody down there.
It was a really good event. That was the first SCBA I've ever done, and I'll be honest with you, I was impressed with the organizers and just the way the whole thing was put on. Had a really good time. Wish I could have brought my wife. It kind of sucked having to do the whole thing solo, but it was a really good event.
You've done good enough solo, so you know you really can't complain.
Well, even a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then.
I know.
So,
that's right.
But I do. I really enjoy cooking whole hog. That's what I grew up doing. Most of my experiences with whole hog, and really enjoyed doing it. So it was fun to go down there and get to do one in the sanctioned body and we was grateful enough to come in out of second place right behind Brian. So good group of guys in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we and that's the same group that we cook with just about every weekend. You know, especially the top, maybe the top six teams in South Carolina. We're at every event, and, you know, it's like a big family.
That's like with us at KCBS, and, you know, Dylan's kind of new to it and everything, but he's getting a good grasp on what goes on. You got your friends, like, you go up North Carolina, you know, we got Steel Mini Grill, Smokehouse Mafia, Thinking Porkers, Smoke This. You know, you got some really good teams up there, and you're really good friends with them. And then you come down to Georgia, and you know, Bubba and Danny and Georgia Boys and Jeff and Wiki Q and a few others. So you got your Georgia family, you know. And then we have our South Carolina family, Q Ogilvie and y'all, and, you know, Spectators and Go for Smoke and a few others, you know. So you kind of get your little groups together. You know, a lot of times they're intertwined, so you have a really good time. But, you know, other times, like I said, you go to these contests, if you do it 10, 12 times a year, you're not going to ever meet. And I would like to do more South Carolina events, but with my KCBS, SBN, and everything, you know, like y'all do a lot of South Carolina barbecue, so you can't do a whole lot of KCBS or SBN. So,
right.
Yeah, because the same weekend. So that's where you just kind of pick and choose which ones you can do.
Well,
and,
I was gonna be a little bit more flexible this year and do a few more events outside of South Carolina, but once you get in there and you start, when you're in the top five in the points, you can't afford to go cook a different cook-off because, you know, if you're not there defending that position in the points, you're gonna get knocked out of the top.
Yeah, because somebody else can kick your butt down a notch or two. So,
this weekend I moved from second to third. Brian's back in second now, and I think he's about 10 or 11 points ahead of me now for second place. But, you know, one good win will catch that back up. Brian is real consistent, and we have been, but when we're not in the top one or two, we're in the bottom of the, you know, down around 10th or 11th, and that has killed us this year. But we've won seven events in pork and had one first place call in ribs this year, so I mean I really can't complain because we've done really well and got. I think we've got seven contests to go. But points wise, I think it's going to come down to the last event.
Well, that's kind of a good thing. You know, everybody's on the track. We've got another really, really good whole hog cooker on the line. And I know most of y'all know him. Roger from Pickin' Porkers. Roger, you on?
Yeah, I'm here, bud.
But Roger's done some NBN events and stuff on Whole Hog. He's done some South Carolina events. He's kind of like me. He's kind of a mutt. You know, we'll do KCBS, do SBN, we'll do South Carolina. You know, he ventures off to NBN some. I don't think he's done any lately, but when he did do them, I know he did very, very well in them. And
yeah, we did okay in the NBN. I just had to get on out of that star-struck judging method of cooking, but we never, ever, ever failed to make the finals in Whole Hog. And so, and the first time I got to enjoy that experience was 2007 in Charlotte, North Carolina. That was the first hog I had cooked in 23 years. And being awfully new and green to the barbecue scene, it was a particular thrill to get in the top three in that particular contest. And, of course, one of the more popular cooks out there won it, but that's okay. We had a good time, but let me make a comment to this. I really did not catch who was on representing SCBA a little bit ago that's apparently in the chase. But the comment that it may come down to the last cook this year to find out who wins the SCBA. 2 years ago, Marcia and I were very fortunate to judge in Conway, South Carolina, when it was a dogfight to the finish there. And it literally came down to that one contest. And us being SCBA judges, we judged Conway. Well, I have to tell you, of all those boxes we saw, from both an appearance and taste standpoint, those are some of the finest boxes I've ever seen, bar none, in the MBN, KCBS, the SBN, the SCBA, whatever you want to say, because these guys were creative, and they put out some wonderful barbecue down there.
Yeah, I mean, I got to hand it to these guys in the South Carolina Association. I mean, they do. I've seen some of the boxes. They build some really nice-looking boxes. And, you know, I think that these guys that are cooking in the South Carolina Barbecue Association, they're the best pork cooks they are in this country.
I couldn't agree with that comment. I really do.
I'm going to the World Food Championship out in Las Vegas to cook, and, you know, I'm not intimidated by that at all because, you know, I'm cooking right here in South Carolina against some of the best there is out there in pork. And, you know, I think I'll do okay.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. Like I said, I'll tell people out there, you know, these Georgia teams and stuff, you know, that are doing good pork. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you go cook a South Carolina Barbecue Association plant, you better have your pork on, because I said, I'm going to tell you what. Y'all have really, really, you know, made me realize how important pork is as far as, you know, how, I guess, how sensitive it can be as a competition meat, because, I mean, y'all really brought my level of pork way up, even though I haven't been doing all that well. But I'm just saying, man, y'all just flat out could go anywhere, I believe in any sanctioning contest, it don't matter if it's FBA, GPA, or whatever, y'all cook pork, y'all are going to be in the top five. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, day in and day out. And like I said, y'all cook it all the time.
Right.
And y'all have it down to a T, and I'll put South Carolina teams up against any teams in the country in pork.
Yeah. You know, the few KCBS events that I have cooked, I've always been in the top 10 in pork.
And that's phenomenal. With as few as you do, with the garnishing and all, which can make a little impact on your score and stuff. But, you know, that just tells you right there, you know, your pork is good no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, quality there is. And, you know, like I said, Rogers, you know, he was top 10 in pork a couple of years ago in KCBS. And, I mean, I believe that if anybody really appreciates good pork, it would be Roger, whether it's whole hog, ribs, or butt. I think Roger's talent towards pork is pretty good. He'll flat out tell me my pork sucks and he doesn't score good. He'll come in, Matt, my pork was dead on. He'll be right up at the top. So he knows from a judging standpoint and from a cooking standpoint what good pork is. And it goes back. You can have
well,
all the rest.
If you ask me my opinion, I will tell you.
Well, that's what you asked for, right? If you ask for it, you're going to get it.
I always love to get in these discussions about sauce preferences, and everybody loves to claim, well, I make that, but, you know, my palate's pretty trained after all these years for trying to make it my own sauces and tasting the bottled stuff out there. But one thing I noticed in the few SCBA cooks I've judged the last few years is there seems to be a trend towards what I'm going to say the old raised apple cinnamon barbecue sauces and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I'm one of those judges that, gosh, I hate to taste cinnamon in any type of pork I eat. And so, but, you know, that was the norm there for a while. I don't know if I haven't judged an SCBA at all this year, but that's running the course of Blues Hog Tennessee Red and Blues Hog Original. You know, there's all variations of that from either one of those straight up to both of those mixed 50-50. And so it's interesting to me to see how the flavors are presented to judges and see what scores and what wins. Unfortunately, as a judge, you never know who stuff you really ate, but it's still interesting to see that. And I'm one of the few people that will divulge a few secrets out there because, well, I just do. Because what I tell you today may be entirely different next month. And so that's the truth. It really is. And so I make it no secret. In 2009 and 2010, when I was hot in barbecue and pork in KCBS, we were six in 2009 in the country. And in 2010, we were 13th in the nation.
What did I use? I used a 50-50 mixture of Blue's Old Tennessee Red, Big Bob Gibson barbecue sauce. And, you know, I ran across that combination by accident in a contest in Mobile, Alabama, but nonetheless, it taught me a lesson. The point I'm trying to make here is what hot then is not hot now.
Right. No, you're right, brother. This is Waylon here, and I do the same thing. I've been doing sweeps undecent this year in pork, and I wouldn't say that my pork sauce is the same every week. I do tweak it from time to time. I'm always trying to go for a different balance, trying to balance out the flavors, and I always tweak my dish. What I did this past week in Lake City was a little bit different than what I do in KCBS. And that was mainly just because I just didn't know the flavor profile of the SCBA, so I was just going to kind of go out on a limb and throw it against the wall and see if it stuck, so to speak. Like, we were lucky enough to get a decent run at it there. So, but you're right. I mean, I think if you stick with the same sauce week in, week out, sooner or later it's going to run out on you.
Oh, I would love to tell that story. In 2008, it's a while back, some of the best money ever won. And you SCBA boys, you want to understand this one. In the Q Cup that we had down in Columbia, South Carolina, or part of the city right next to it, we won using a sauce I've never, ever used in competition. I walked by, tasted some sample that guy was selling out there, another team. I tasted that, and I said, golly, Pete, that tastes just like my own sauce, but probably a little bit better. I bought a bottle. I came back, and on the pork category, I used his sauce instead of my own, and I was really unsure about that. And it turned out to be, and you're going to love this because they just got picked for the best barbecue sauce for the Democratic National Committee. It was a QDU. And Brian and his group down there, they make a good sauce. And so I used his sauce for quite some time in my early years of competing with QDU sauce. And it's just darn good stuff. I like it for my personal taste. I quit making my own sauces just because it's so similar to mine. It's just easier to buy a bottle. But it won the best of sauce in Charlotte. And I'm not so much plugging Brian and his restaurant, but the point I'm trying to get at is this is yet another style of barbecue sauce, which is far different from Tennessee Blue's Hog. On Blue's Hog, Tennessee Red, and you see how flavor profiles change and change and change. So the challenge to us as cooks, particularly competitive cooks, is to always be a step ahead of the judges and see what's going to be new next. And that's where discussions like this come into play, because if you look at it almost like a roundhouse table situation, some good ideas come out of it.
Right. Well, Smoking Coals barbecue sauce up at Mark Buzzy up in Columbia, he's one of my sponsors. And, you know, I've used his sauce this year, and, you know, we've had pretty good success with it. And, you know, I'm gonna keep on using it as long as I'm winning. Something, you know, if I back off and, you know, I may have to do some adjustments, but as of right now, I'm going to stick with it.
I don't blame you. If you're bringing home the bacon, I wouldn't change a thing.
That's right.
You know, it's a pretty good product. I use his rubs and his sauce. Of course, I doctor the rubs a little bit to get it to my flavor profile that I like.
And, you know, another thing, you know, what the mixture of the rubs and the sauce and the flavor of that backwoods smoker right now, the way my smoker's seasoned, I mean, I'm having good luck. It's hitting, so I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Don't blame me one bit.
Yeah, what does keep on keeping on mean? She tells me that all the time.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Just do the same thing. Just do it over.
Kind of what I figured.
Don't change. Just don't change.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the way I look at it. That's right.
I mean, you know, I think this weekend that was one thing. You know, I went to Lake City and I was out of my comfort zone because I didn't have my normal competition trailer. I didn't have my normal competition cooker, and, you know, I think it showed his end result.
Well, speaking of being out of the comfort zone, I'm fixing to head in 3 weeks to Bentonville, Arkansas for the Sam's Club final. Yeah, I decided to do that, Jim, regardless of what I may have said earlier about not going. But Marsh and I stepped back and decided, well, shoot, if I just forget two contests I was going to do financially, we'd be able to make that trip, because I'm looking at $1,100 just in gas alone. But comfort zone, yes, I'm way out of my comfort zone when it gets cooking in the Midwest. So I'm doing my homework now and going to be practicing the next couple of weeks on some flavor profiles that I think may be acceptable out there. But, of course, I've got some good coaching from Mike Davis and Byron Chisholm on that situation. So we'll just see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when we get out there.
Yeah.
Jeff, where's your next event at?
We're going to Smoke on the Water in Columbia, which will be next weekend.
Okay.
That's right there off the end of Senate Street in downtown Columbia. It's supposed to be a pretty nice venue right on the river. It's put on by Chef Dupree right there in Columbia. I think they've got, last I heard, I think they had 17 teams that were going to be there. And it's the top, I think three of the top six teams in South Carolina is going to be there. And the other half split off and went to Malden to a cook-off up there.
Okay.
We'll be in downtown Columbia next weekend.
Yeah, Chris Wilson, my tailgate, is going to do that one, and he's got a tailgate net that night. So he's going to be.
Well, I mean, I got an email from the organizer yesterday that, you know, they're going to do the award ceremony at 1:30, and they said we had to be off the property by 4 for another event. So I think Chris will be quit for, you know, once we go to awards, he'll be able to get out and travel a few blocks up the road and start it all over again.
Right. That's just an event up in Toronto. William and Roger will be there. It's at Salisbury. And it's going to be one hell of a – it's going to be a shootout this weekend up there, isn't it?
I think we'll knock down drag out with all the list of teams. Like, you got Roger in there. You got Smokehouse Mafia. Chick Swine Bovine. Little Birdie's telling me Tuffy's going to come back this year to try to defend the title.
It's going to be a hog. It really will. It's got some good teams coming down there, and we welcome Tuffy as well. Tuffy, that's a challenge in case you're listening.
I had to beat him for my first grand ever, and he was legitimately more happy for me than I was at that time. I'm like, are you really that happy for me? Yeah, man. He's a great steward of barbecue, and I mean, he's kind of a professor, but, you know, he's just a really good, genuine guy. He's always happy, and, you know, if he's not wore out doing a barbecue pit masters, but, you know, like I said, he's just one of the guys you want to go up and talk to, and, you know, real friendly and down to earth, which most people are. Most teams are. I mean, I've got no problems with anybody out there. But that's a big event. They've been pushing it for a while, and it was a good event last year, and they increased it to, what, about 8,000 teams this year? I don't know. It was a good many of them, but good prize money in it. And, you know, that just shows you, good prize money, you're going to keep growing like crazy.
One thing we have to bring up, I mean, speaking of the Salisbury contest, at Tilly Harley-Davidson up here, that Gary Moss, the organizer for Tilly Harley-Davidson, has been one tech of an organizer. He's done a job for keeping people informed. He's extremely accommodating. These people give you everything you need. They'll bend over backwards for you. The entertainment starts on Thursday night when most teams are arriving. That's called the free party, and then Friday night is the party, and then Saturday night is the after-party situation. So these people front down. They make a great contest for the teams. They make a great contest for the public. And if you're really into the bikes, you got their share of the bikes up there, too. So you really have to throw out some kudos for Gary Moss. It's just unbelievable. And a whole lot of the barbecue teams are going to go out to eat Thursday night at Yoshi Restaurant, which is a sushi, sashimi-type bar, which is plugged in right behind it. And so The point I'm trying to get is, teams, if you're listening out there and you need something to do this weekend, this is a great contest to cook. They're not into your wallet, real heavy. The rewards are really good. But more importantly, you've got probably one of the better organizers out there that stays on top of the game. So come cook this thing.
That's going to be one of the contests you don't want to miss. Just the last 2 years, I had Lake Oconee, which is an hour away. But also, you know, this year with my Sam's Regional kind of kicked me out of doing that one. And I was kind of looking forward to doing it. It's just on the, you know, just happened to fall on the wrong weekend. But I know Waylon will be up there. And, you know, it's, you know, I think everybody's kind of looking forward to this bit. Like I said, when you have a good organizer and they do a lot for the teams and stuff, it's no issue to get the teams to come back. If they
Waylon, will you be there first tonight?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, Roger, we're gonna probably leave Augusta about 4:30 on Thursday, as soon as you gets off from the bank, and we're gonna head up. We'll be getting sometime Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening.
You'll never be there in time to go out to eat, but don't go on the
No.
Thank you. And Jim, I didn't mean to cut you off. Apparently, this is lay on my phone and this, that, and the other. So I'm not really that rude.
No, it's all right. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, I start the show and let y'all go at it. So I'm just dancing. Well, see, you know, like I said, you know, we got three people cook whole hogs on here, which I've never had on before. And I know Jeff doesn't do too many of them. And, Rod, you don't do many of them anymore. But, I mean, you like the art and you've really done really well in the whole hog contest. And Waylon continues to do it. And, yeah, Waylon did a little seminar down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchen, the grills on whole hog, and had a small hog. And, I mean, I thought it turned out really well. There wasn't nothing left of that hog when they got done with the class. But, you know, it's one thing he was itching to do it, and I probably should just nix my little rib thing, got up there and help Waylon, let him do the hog. I'd do chicken wings and ribs, and should have bought it. But a lot of them don't, I mean, no pun intended, Jeff, but a lot of these areas don't like to see a whole lot of Georgia teams come into these contests. I'm going to be like Waylon. You know, we do these SBNs or whatever, and, North Carolina's got good teams, South Carolina got good teams, and all right, but, you know, Georgia, there's so many top-tier teams that are just beating each other up and down. That's why I head over to South Carolina and North Carolina. Between the teams up there, I mean, there's a lot of teams coming up, too, but, you know, South Carolina's got about, you know, from 6 to 10 really good teams over there. North Carolina's probably got, you know, 15, 18. Georgia's got about 25, 30. And it's just, you know, everybody's just beating and banging one another. And like I said, I put up this little contest down in Waynesboro. First thing I got was, oh, shit, what are you doing here? So, you know, they were doing home improvements. So I wasn't going to stick around the house. So I can get out of the house. So, but no, it's, you know, like I said, you know, you meet a lot of teams from different states, you know, through the Thursday night dinners or Friday nights or whatever. You know, we had a birthday party for my wife down there in Myrtle Beach, was great. Marshall's was a couple weeks earlier, and, I mean, everybody comes out and, you know, makes a little something for them and sits around and eats and gets fatter and, you know, enjoy themselves. And it sounds like the contest up there in Salisbury is more like a, we're going to a party, and then we're going to see if a contest breaks out, is from what I'm getting from our.
You were talking about whole hogs. That is absolutely my most favorite category of pork ever to cook. And I would love to do more of them. Unfortunately, about the only way to do it from a competition standpoint is either MBN, which they are becoming fewer and far in between, and our SCBA, which, in my opinion, financially does not make sense with the current cost structure I have in doing contests. So that's why I don't do very many of either. But, you know, to me, to tell the true skills of a pit master, cook, whatever term you want to use, a whole hog done properly is without a doubt the hardest darn thing you can ever do. to get every area of that hog to perfection. It's tough, and I've got respect for those that beat me and those that win consistently and those that do it in the backyard to make everybody happy, because that is a wonderful thing to cook. The thing I hate to see is an Eastern North Carolina-style cook a hog, and then they just take the thing and mince all of that meat together and call it barbecue. And, gosh, stuff like that drives me completely up the wall. But it does. It just drives me completely up the wall. And one of the first experiences I ever had was somebody just throwing all that together was down in South Carolina, in Orangeburg, South Carolina, at a popular restaurant down there, where they were cooking whole hog, but they put it on their buffet table out there, minced, and literally minced, put all that hog together, and it was dry as a bone when you got to it to eat it. The only thing good about those hogs back then were the ribs, the few ribs they would put out there when they would do it. And you had to be there early enough in dinner service to get it. But, my golly, I love a whole hog more than anything in this world.
Yeah, I was brought up cooking a whole hog. That's all we ever cooked, as I was coming up as a kid. And when we got into this competition style, it's kind of got a little bit away from what I learned as I was coming up. And sometimes I go back and just go back to the roots and start over what my grandfather taught me, you know, 30 years ago, and I do very well. And I got one more whole hog contest coming up this year in Edgefield, and I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the roots of what my grandfather taught me 20, 30 years ago, and we're going to go with it and see how it turns out.
When is that cooking in Edgefield? I'd really like to do a whole hog this year.
That
it's
is
October 5th and 6th.
Yep, first weekend in October.
No can do. I got to be getting ready for the Bensonville, Arkansas deal, so I'll be traveling out that way.
Yeah,
hey, that's the one I have. I'm deciding to do that one. Or I don't know if I want to do Edgefield or if I want to do the KCS and Lawrence. I can't make up my mind.
Well, I thought about Lawrence too, but to be honest with you, I thought, well, if I skip two contests, I can pay for Bensonville. So that's the option we chose. I decided, you know, that $1,100 gas bill at Bensonville, I'm going to have to make it up somewhere. And I can't milk my customers for that, so I guess I'm going to have to suck it up and miss two contests. But that's what Marcia and I are going to do. And we'll go out there and try our best to represent North Carolina. And I want to say South Carolina, since I'm an SCBA type guy. So we'll just see what happens out there. I'm studying hard right now. I'm getting some good coaching. We'll see what happens.
Good luck with it.
I hope you are there with us. But you just knock them dead out there, and I'm going to call it Nashville, but I think it's the city closer to Nashville.
Well, so you got your next contest this weekend, Jeff?
Say again?
Your next contest this weekend?
My next contest is going to be Smoke on the Water in downtown Columbia this weekend.
Well, y'all have good luck on that, and, you know, we're always pulling for you, and just give me a call tomorrow, and we'll go on this thing, and hopefully I can teach you a little something to where maybe you can improve your score a little bit. I don't know. I've been hitting pretty deep lately, so maybe it'll pass on over to you.
Maybe.
You know, and I appreciate the help, and like I said, hopefully I can return the favor with you. And get you on in the right direction.
All right. Well, I'll definitely be in touch with you sometime midday tomorrow, and we'll set up some, you know, a time and everything. And I enjoyed talking to y'all. I'm gonna have to get on out of here. And
best of luck this weekend, Jeff.
Huh?
I said best of luck to you this weekend.
You too, Wyland. Y'all be safe on the road, and good luck this weekend.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
That's Jeff Smith, Smoking Stacks. He is the backwoods dealer in South Carolina. If y'all need a really good smoker, he's got them. He's the only dealer in South Carolina. So if you're thinking about sticking on the backwoods, he does it week in and week out and does very well with them. So he can give you all the time and cut that in half at least by talking to him. Get a chance, get your backwoods, and give Jeff a call, and he'll set you up right. Waylon, you and Roger are going to be going head-to-head at Salisbury. And,
yes, yes. We're looking forward to that cookout. We wanted to do it last year, which was the first year they'd ever had it, and had some trailer issues and all, couldn't make it up there, so we're really looking forward to making it up there this year and hopefully have a good showing.
And now, you guys pulled off two reserve grands the last two weekends because you're kind of riding a little bit of a high, so hopefully you can Roger can put it together.
Hopefully we can keep that going. It's kind of a shame. I finally figured out what's causing a lot of my problems in Greenwood and Dillard. But I didn't find out what it was until Greer, so hopefully we got that righted, and hopefully we can make a better run at it. Be a contender out there at some of these contests. We seem to be getting cup calls everywhere we go. We can't seem to get enough. In the past, that seemed to be able to get enough to get up there with the big boys in the reserves and the grants up until here lately, so hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Well, that's some pretty good calls in a couple categories at these big competitions and stuff. If you can just get a little bit more consistent, I mean, the sky's the limit, really and truthfully. It's, like I said, you place very well in all four categories, actually, so, all you got to do is put together at one time and it'll start coming a little easier for you.
I know we're ready for it, that's for sure. That's for sure. So, we'll be in Salisbury this week, and then we're going to be doing Rome, Georgia the following week. And then the week after that, like I said, it's up there. I don't know if I'm going to go do Edgefield, Whole Hog, or if I want to go do the KCBS in Lawrence. I haven't made up my mind yet. So, and then after that, we'll be Lyons, Georgia. So.
Well, I don't know how the money breaks out on this contest, Waylon, but Lawrence, South Carolina, I've cooked it several times. It's a lot of fun. The public really supports that place. And here's the real kicker. If you're one of those people that's wanting to just pay for your contest and nothing else, you get to sell samples down there and to the public on a coupon basis. And you can easily pay for your contest, regardless how you turn out. Keep in mind, it was heavy on my radar. They only got like a $5,000 purse, which kind of blows in my opinion, but everybody got a different thing in this thing. But one of the things that always made that contest attractive to me in the past was back then I was chasing points in KCBS, but more importantly, all I ever want to do when I do a contest is break even. I'm not out to get rich on this because we know none of us are going to get rich on it. We just want to have our day with the Pied Piper. And Lawrence gives you that opportunity. Ridgeway, I don't know anything about it, so I shouldn't even comment on it, but that's just something to think about.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing. The Whole Hog they got, the SCBA, is about 35, 40 miles from our house. That's about 10 miles where my in-laws live, which is a plus, but there again, like I said, Lawrence isn't that far either. Lawrence is probably a little over an hour and a half, so not really sure. Like I said, that's why it's kind of air. Not really sure. We're fortunate some of our sponsors that we have helped offset some calls for us. Miller Lite is one of our sponsors, and they cover my entry fees on most all of KCBS, so that does help a lot on that side of it. As you all know, it can be a very expensive sport.
Absolutely.
And you can get in your pockets in a heartbeat. That's the only reason we hadn't jumped out and done any MBNs just yet. It's because, like I said, there's few and far between, but also I think getting out there and competing in that sanctioning body takes a lot more money than your KCBSs and everything else. And we're definitely going to do it. It's just like I said, we've got to get ourselves up to up speed before we jump out on that can't
just
go that way. So,
well, in Lawrence, Jonathan Arick does an excellent job down there of arranging things. So, I guess if you want to call that a plug, I guess that's a plug. They've just been at it a while. They do a good job, and but I understand being cooking close to home. That's extremely important.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's one thing. Like I said, we're fortunate where me and Jim both are at. We can just about go a 2-hour
radius of Augusta, and you can just about compete almost every weekend. That's where we're at. We're in a real good spot for that, so that's definitely a benefit.
Well, we'll check on the old KCBS website Saturday night to see how both y'all did up there in Salisbury. Like I said, I regret I'm having to miss it. I've got, like I said, my regionals, and barring that, I'd be up there right in the middle of it with y'all, too. Not only just compete, but just see some, you know, all the teams up there, and a lot of them are my friends, and, you know, just hang out and have a good time. So, anyways, we're Waylon, is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to?
Yeah, I'll give a shout-out, like I said, to Greg McCulley down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills, Georgia. He's one of our sponsors, as well, you know. Memphis Pellet Grills, another one. And then, like I said, Miller Lite, they've signed on. And just give a shout-out to them, because, like I said, without them, a lot of the things we do wouldn't really be possible. So, very grateful for what they do, and blessed to have them on board.
That's good. Yeah, I know you're traveling out of town tonight and everything, and you be safe on the roads and make it back safe, so you go back right back up there.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'll be making my way back to Augusta on Wednesday. So, but yeah, Roger, like I said, wish you the best of luck. Look forward to seeing you in a couple of days. And Jim, go to Nashville and give them hell.
I'm going to try.
Well, thanks much. I'll give it my very best shot, but we know how judging goes, so I may go out there and be DAL. I may be reserve. I may be first. I don't know. I'll just go have a good time if I don't do anything else.
That's right. That's all you can do.
That's it. Roger, you got anything you want to give out before we get off the air?
I'll just give a shout out to all the barbecue teams that I know out there. I hope they're listening. If they're not, they need to be listening. I really have to give a special shout-out to Central Meats in Chesapeake, Virginia this week. Sister up there was extremely kind to us and picking up 100% of my meat from that, for that particular contest. Marcia and I had severe doubts about whether we would be able to even make that Sam Club original out there because, unfortunately, something called work gets in the way. Jim, you being in the landscaping business, you understand this. This is our aerating and seeding time of the year, so I really had to juggle my schedule to make this contest. We were fortunate enough to get in the ninth place up there and thus qualify for the Bentonville, Arkansas cook-off. But I went up there without one speck of meat, knowing that I could get the Central Meats and get contest-quality meats. And Richard was kind enough to put a hat and a coat and go back and just processing area and pick the most fresh pork and pizza that I could possibly use my hands on. So a very special shout out for them.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate that. And I want to give a shout out for Mark Green for hosting a bunch of these characters this past weekend up in his restaurant called Harpoon Larry's up in Chesapeake.
I was just trying to get a little drink in my drink here, but Mark Green and his restaurant, Harpoon Larry's, oh, my God. This guy has it nailed up there. He has a perfect situation. He has a great atmosphere. He has great service. The food was second to none. What can I say? Every barbecue team in this country needs to go to Harpoon Larry's in Hampton, Virginia, and give this guy your business as a way of saying thanks and nothing else, because he does a lot of barbecue. And, of course, he's kicking everybody's butt right now as he's ranked number one in the country in pork. And so, yeah, the boy's hot. And so what can we say? So, and plus he has a barbecue restaurant, which, I don't know, Mark, he might serve garbage for all I know. I haven't been there but I can tell you his seafood restaurant is killer. And we all need to push each other. And we need to push Harpoon Larry's. And he's fed the president, if that means anything to anybody out there. But he's fed the president twice with barbecue.
Yep. Well, he's a good guy, too. You know, he's been around and you know, it goes back to when you go to these events or whatever, support local people that are out there trying to make a big change. You know, they make a living no matter where they're at. But, you know, locals like Mark Green being one of us of the family. And you know, go out and support them. Like I said, you're gonna get better food, better service, and you're gonna enjoy the atmosphere a whole lot better, and you're gonna feel better about yourself because you actually, you know, boost. So that's what these events do. That's what we aim to do. So,
well, if you see Mark, you must ask. You absolutely must ask for a Rum Runner B-51.
They're good, huh?
It's awesome. I'm telling you, it's awesome.
Well, that's good. Well, like I say, Roger, it's good for you to call in tonight. And as always, we enjoy it and enjoy hearing from you and Waylon and Jeff and even Gary down there in Florida. My podcast just won a grand. So we got a little bit of taste there. So we got a little FBA, a little GBA, you know, CBS, some SCBA, some SCN. So it was a pretty well rounded show tonight. And like I said, I wanted to thank my guest speakers tonight. And, you know, a lot of them are going to be competing against one another this weekend and next couple weekends. So it's good to have people sit around and talk that compete and, you know, and enjoy one another's company and stuff and, you know, just talk to you. So, you know, I want to give a shout out to Greg McCulley from Fireside Outdoor Kitchen Grill. He sponsors me as well as Memphis Pellet Smokers. Southern Q Smokers, the maker of the TNT smoker. Scott and Tim up there in Kennesaw do a great job with their smokers and fabricating. I want to give a shout out to Phoenix Printing for doing all my shirts and aprons and big sign on the side of my trailer that said I am the killer bees or whatever. So you know, I want to give a shout out to them, and also a big shout out, probably my biggest supporter is Royal Oak Charcoal with Mike Shore up there out of Atlanta. Really, truly, without them, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. That's just a big. But anyways, I want to just congratulate everybody that won this week, and hopefully have a few more on the next Monday. Let's take a grand. If Waylon and Roger call back in, or Jeff Smith, we'll talk about the contest they were at this past weekend, and go from there. Roger, you
thanks for letting me call in, brother. We'll see you folks later.
Thanks,
y'all take care.
All right, thanks, Waylon. Take care, buddy.
Bye, bud. All right, you too.
And like I said, go out and support your local economy. You know, if you're barbecuing out there, go support the local restaurant stuff. One of them could be a friend, you know, your next contest. You know, and that's what these things are all about. It's supposed to help boost the economy, and hopefully you help a local yokel out. So this is Jim Berg signing off, and hope you all have a good queuing time this weekend, and be safe out there on the road.